The scripture reading for this morning is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 15 through 19. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I was in the 10th grade before all my dreams were crushed, and my life and my future seemed to crumble before my eyes. You see, I was living in Huntsville at the time, and I just fell in love with the space industry. One of my first weeks after moving to Huntsville, I had a chance to go on Redstone Arsenal, where my dad worked, and tour the Marshall Space and Flight Center that was there, and look at some of the rockets, and go to the museum that was up there, the Space and Rocket Museum, and they've got the Saturn V rocket out front and the space shuttle, and man, I was just enamored by it. And I just drank it up. I mean, I went to Virgil Grissom High School. You know, I mean, the space industry was all around us. Later on, I would graduate from Wernher von Braun Civic Center. I mean, like, everywhere you went, there you seemed to be surrounded by this. And I wanted to be an astronaut. And the vehicle that would carry me to the stars had a height restriction on it. And it was about the 10th grade that I kind of hit the peak of where they thought I was going to end up height-wise. And if many of y'all know me, I am 6'5", and the height restriction for the NASA space shuttle is 6'4". So that is what kept me out of outer space. Not that my aptitude of science and mathematics probably peaked around that same point in my life as well. About as scientific as I got is the vinegar and baking soda volcano. That's about. Not that my vision only qualifies me for flight if I'm a bat. I mean, none of these other things. It obviously was the height restriction that was going to keep me from achieving my dreams. So in the 10th grade, crushed, demoralized, directionless in life, I had to figure out something else that I would do. And I'll tell you, my dreams have changed quite a way since then. At the time, I don't think I ever would have said, years from now, I will be a preacher standing in church talking about how I didn't become an astronaut. Because it would have been so ridiculous and it would have sounded like a terrible sermon. And so my dreams, they tended to shift. They kind of became a little bit more fluid. At one point, I wanted to become a veterinarian. I love animals. My house is basically a home for animals. But again, the math and science kind of thwarted my efforts. Apparently, you have to get degrees and that kind of thing and work fairly fluidly with that. At one point, I wanted to be a teacher. Actually started a degree to go into secondary education. And found out that probably wasn't the field that I needed to go into. If any of y'all know me, I was a terrible student. I had a chair in the principal's office that he brought in just so I'd have somewhere to sit. I was in there so often. And I found that since Lavender has gone back to school and I find myself in teachers' meetings and stuff a little bit more often, I revert right back into that kid who makes sarcastic comments all the time. And the principals still don't appreciate it decades later. I don't get it. And so as I kind of progressed through life, I found myself kind of dipping a toe in all sorts of different careers. I began working at a golf course. I worked at Redstone Golf Course for a couple years through high school and college, and kind of worked my way up from being sort of a cashier and working out in the cart shed to eventually being an office manager there, and left there to go work at PetSmart, where I started out as a cashier and eventually became an inventory manager, kind of driving forklifts and doing inventory. And again, I worked as a teacher at a private school in Huntsville. I was a PE teacher. I was a computer applications teacher. I was a French teacher, which is strange because I don't speak French. My resume was amazing, if I could get hired to do that. So there's all sorts of different things that I've ended up. And somehow, years later, I end up here. My mother can't believe it either. She doesn't know what happened either. And so it's always interesting in the way that our lives change, the way that our circumstances change, the ways that events sort of move in our lives. Our lives are not defined by how similar we stay. Our lives are defined by the things that change our paths. And maybe not even sort of what happens to us in those moments, but how we respond to those changes and how we move and continue to find a way forward in life. What I love so much about the prophet Isaiah in this passage is one of my favorite theological concepts about God, is the way that God is sure constant and unchanging, but also at the same time in the great mystery of who God is, the way that God is so flexible. The way that God is so maneuverable, the way that God is so sticky, that no matter how much we change, God seems to stay with us no matter where we are. So I stand before you, a rejected astronaut, but yet still I feel a better person than I was. That no matter how my dreams has changed or my directions have changed, that God has seemed to always continue to make a way. And so no matter what circumstances that you might be going through, if we read through this small piece of Isaiah 43 that we read today, it talks about some of these circumstances we have in lives. Whether you feel as if you are going through a desert, maybe your faith feels so dry. Maybe you feel that you haven't been fed in a while. Maybe you feel so thirsty for that word of God. Or maybe you feel as if you're caught on the sea, tossed about by so many waves and storms, completely directionless and completely removed from making any decisions of your life, almost as if you have lost control. Isaiah says that God is with you in those moments. And he is doing a new thing for you. And he is making a way through the deserts, through the rivers, and the sea. We get caught in moments or circumstances in our lives that we feel like things are never going to change. That maybe this is as good as it's going to get. So I do an exercise with my soldiers. I do a lot of suicide prevention training. I do a lot of leadership training with my soldiers. And so one of the suicide prevention classes that I teach is I teach them with my younger soldiers. 18 to 24 is one of the largest brackets for young adults that are vulnerable to suicide. And so I ask them, who has ever had a bad relationship before? And most of their hands go up in the air. And I said, who in here has ever run out of money before? And all of their hands go up again. And I say, who in here has ever had a job that you didn't like? Their hands go up again. I said, who in here has ever been humiliated or ever been embarrassed in front of others before? And their hands would go up. And I'd say, you're not a failure You're just in your 20s. This is just life, that we all go through these circumstances and we get to these moments that we pull away and we isolate ourselves and we build walls and we say, perhaps this is as good as it's ever get, or perhaps that this is a life that's never going to change and we're never going to get out of this. But the truth is, and the good news is life doesn't do anything but change. And our circumstances don't do anything but evolve. And yet we are with a God who walks with us, who moves with us, who carries us, who swims with us, who sails with us, who goes through each and every one of the circumstances, and is not just present with us in those moments, but makes a way through them. One of the special things that we share here in this worship service is Holy Communion. And what I love so much about the story of communion is how God makes a way for his life and his story to continue and endure even before the disciples get to a point that they think that they have lost. He shares a meal with his disciples the night before it all falls apart. And in the days that they scatter, and then in the days that they're afraid and they hide and they go back home, that same love and that same promise and that same way that God carved through this table and this story of his love with us still endured until they began to see the face and the steps and the presence of their Savior with them again. There is a way, even when it seems hidden, that God is doing a new thing here in your life, here in this church, in this community, in this world. Thanks be to God.